Right. Good to see you here. And let's pray again. And we ask for God's anointing. Lord, we do that because whatever preparation goes through my brain is insignificant. You are the God who knows each of us better than we know ourselves. You are the God who sees the future. You are the God who knows what will happen and how much we need to learn one lesson and another lesson and whatever lessons. You are the God who speaks right into our heart. And so as we open your word, Lord God, I pray for each one here that they will be anointed by your Spirit, that they will hear you. There will be a link between them and you. Your word, your direction, your command, your encouragement. Lord, that's what we ask for. In Jesus' name, amen. We're in Daniel 11. The Western Empire of the 21st century is referred to as Babylon. In Revelation, it is doomed to fall. It is portrayed as the harlot in Revelation 17 and 18, which is the fake bride. The British Empire took the gospel around the world so that countries were founded on the Word of God. So parliaments began with the Word of God. But there's been a huge falling away. As we read Daniel 11, we will see how countries rise and fall. And we can become complacent, can't we? Because we have lived for so many years in a land of peace. But as you look at history, you need to take the warning seriously. These changes always affect ordinary people like you and me. What matters is our stand with God. I prayed for that lady. Barbara, she's an interesting lady. She actually broke the over 70s world record for the 400 meters a year, either last year or the year before. She's a keen runner. So keen runners never stop, right? You get injured, you slow down, but you keep on going. And she's had this knee replacement and been in pain. And last week, God prompted me to pray, and I didn't. So I preach one thing and not do. But I gave you that homework, the four things you have to do before you shut your eyes. One is you have to give thanks to God, because gratefulness really kills grumpiness. If you can see what God has done for you today, what thing he has done, you think, oh, that is good. And it kills jealousy. I wish I had that. No, God has given you this. Confession. Because confession requires humility. You have to say, Lord, I'm sorry. And so I had to say, I'm sorry. You prompted me to pray, and I paused, and the moment was gone. And you have to ask God what you can do for him. So after confessing, I said, Lord, will you give me another chance? And what he can do for you, the fourth thing. So anyway, last week, it was just me and her sitting at the table having a coffee. This week, there were five of us there. I thought, oh my gosh. And she started talking about the pain in her knee. I asked her how it was. And then I knew that I had to. And I said, feel free to say no, but can I pray for you? And she said, yes. She was so wanting it. And I don't know what the other people thought. One is a Christian lady who goes to Parkerville Baptist, but I don't know about the other two. But she was so grateful. So I prayed for her. And she said, thank you. And I've done my bit now. I said to God, look, I've done my bit. Next bit's yours, okay? Yeah, okay. You heal her. Because I want glory to go to you. I want fruit. You've got to have fruit. So what matters is our stand and our walk with God. That yes, like me, probably you will fail as well. You will miss the opportunity. It'll go in a matter of a second. But next time you'll be more alert. Next time you'll say, no, I'll reach out and I'll do it. I suggested in the homework that you Google and read the books of 1 and 2 Maccabees. They're about 67 pages long. But very interesting history and very courageous stand by the Jews and total cruelty there, just war. They make interesting reading for this period between the Old Testament and the New Testament. And it's a reminder that until Jesus comes to reign on earth, we cannot have peace in this world. We cannot have peace. Daniel 11, chapter 11 of Daniel, contains an amazingly accurate prophecy which was fulfilled over nearly 400 years. What we need to grasp is that God knows the future exactly before it happens. The scoffers explain this by claiming this chapter was written after it all happened. They cannot accept that our God created even time. And there we have it. Whoops, there we almost have it. I'm not alive. Maybe you click the thing. Oh, and now I've shut my eyes. Ah, there we have it. Good, works. Right. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. So that includes time. Time. All things were made by him. After three Persian kings came Xerxes the Great, who stirred up Greece. Now both the Persian Empire through Haman and the Greek Empire through Antiochus tried to wipe out the Jewish race. Today, Hamas in Palestine seeks to eradicate the Jewish nation, so it doesn't exist. Satan was attacking the people of God then, and he does so today. Daniel 11. Also the king of the south, Ptolemy, shall become strong, as well as one of his princes, Seleucus, and he, Seleucus, shall gain power over him, Ptolemy, and have dominion. His, that's Seleucus's dominion, shall be a great dominion. But at the end of some years they shall join forces, for the daughter of the king of the south, that's Berenice, not Bernice, Berenice, daughter of Ptolemy the third, shall go to the king of the north, Antiochus the second of the Seleucids, to make an agreement. But she shall not retain the power of her authority, and neither he nor his authority shall stand. But she shall be given up with those who brought her, and with him who begot her, and with him who has strengthened her in those times. Now, hard to deal with all the history, but the marriage gave peace for a season, until Ptolemy II died. Once Ptolemy II died, Antiochus II put away Berenice and took back his former wife, Laodice. So it's a real mangle, this, okay? But Laodice, of course, didn't trust her husband, Antiochus II. I mean, he'd already ditched her once. So she had him poisoned. After the murder of Antiochus II, Laodice had Berenice, her infant son, and her attendants all killed. Get rid of the opposition. Then Laodice set her son Seleucus II as king over the Syrian dominion. Now the king of the south was Ptolemy, who was a general under Alexander the Great and one of Alexander's four successors. Alexander, remember, I told you, died at the age of 32. He was a mighty conqueror, but never made it. The dynasties of the Seleucids and the Ptolemies, that's Syria and Egypt, fought for 130 years. The stronger of the two always held dominion over the Holy Land, which was caught up between the two and ravaged. These two forces were joined by marriage for a while, but it didn't last. There was an era between the Old Testament and the New Testament. This is it. Daniel is given the prophecy to warn and prepare Israel for very difficult times to come. Now, we too have been warned about very difficult times to come. The war in Ukraine revokes the thought that mankind is now civilized and has ceased from the savagery of war. Now, that was there before the Ukraine. People were complacent, especially in the West here. In Perth, we have a wonderful blessing here, and we can't even imagine the war and the savagery there. But the war in the Ukraine revokes the thought that mankind has now progressed. The bride must get herself ready for the wedding. Our primary preparation is our walk with God. In the world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So, does that mean you get out of the tribulation? No. No. Does that mean you don't have trials, you don't have troubles? No. No. But we turn back to God, and Jesus says, I have overcome the world. And you look at the life in the Gospels, the four Gospels of Jesus, and they are full of troubles. People are trying to kill him all the time. People hate him right the way through. He says, fear not, I've overcome the world. You know, because of our entertainment promotes the thoughts of violence, we open the doors of our imagination and release hosts of demonic powers into the community. Hollywood has so corrupted the imagination of society so that we welcomed idolatry, violence, and lust. 2 Peter 2 says, for whom a person is overcome, by him he is brought into bondage. When we have taken it as entertainment that we can have toy guns and shoot, it's only one step further from that to have real guns and shoot and kill. And you see it. You see it in the news every night in America. And it's coming around the Western world. For by whom a person is overcome, by him he is brought into bondage. We must love God with all our heart and mind and strength. Mark 12:30 says that. With our heart and soul and mind and strength. So our mind, when it is given over and open to the things which are not of God, overcomes us and we are brought into bondage. And people, our new generation, the generation of children, are overcome, and we need to prevent that and stop that and put a block in front of that. Arrogance allows us to think that we can control these demons. That is the best trick ever, isn't it? When you think, ah, no, I'm in control, but you lose it. In our pride, we have compromised and come to believe that civilized people can and will live in peace. After Jesus explains to his disciples in Matthew 16:23 that he's been going to be killed and suffer before that, Peter takes him aside to rebuke him. And Jesus recognizes Satan behind one of his best friends. Isn't that incredible? What another cunning trick by Satan. Who shall I use? The enemy? No, I will use one of his best friends. And Satan tries to rebuke Jesus. And Jesus' reply is, get behind me, Satan. You are offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. Wow. What is the not bit? The not bit is, you are not mindful about the things of God. Whoever is not for me is against me. We have to be positive. That is why you have that homework, those four things, because when you thank God, you're back into God's world. What happened today that I can thank God for? People, we must do that before you shut your eyes, because Satan wants the grumpiness, he wants the jealousy, he wants the covetousness, the last commandment, thou shalt not covet. People ignore that all the time. But if you say to God, thank you for everything you've given me, and thank you especially for this thing, for that opportunity, this smallest thing, you've got to connect back with God. You've got to confess. You've got to say, what can I do for you tomorrow? You've got to say, because he says, you know, bring me your requests. So you say, well, this is what I'd like you to do for me tomorrow. forget all of that. But you've got to come back to God. For you are not mindful of the things of God, how easy it is to drift away and to be mindful of the things of men. Despite the hard times, Israel is protected by God. The high-ranking Persian Haman tried to wipe out the Jews in the book of Esther. Antiochus, the Greek king, also tried to exterminate the Jews so they would embrace the Greek gods. The anti-Christian army in Australia has media and politicians who are committed to silencing the Christians. Now, at the Rally for Life a few weeks ago, May the 14th, was it? Yeah. No. 14, 12, 11, 10. Probably around there, 10. The media didn't comment on it at all. I didn't see one comment, and there were a few thousand people there who were praying and worshiping God. Quite extraordinary. They will not give it any flack at all. The media know that Christian schools are a threat and want them neutralized. They refuse to start their own schools because they would know that it takes huge sacrifice and community will probably not support them anyway. They want sermons censored, as they are in China. They want no mention of hell and judgment. Charities that began as Christian charities have now failed to mention the name Jesus when they ask for money because it is politically incorrect. I saw that at Christmas. I saw a leaflet by a Christian body. I won't name them. But it mentioned Santa Claus three times and did not mention the name Jesus once. This is at Christmas when we celebrate the birth of Christ. The name Jesus is powerful, people. That's why it's a swear word. Because Satan wants to bring it down. And Santa is replaced, the harmless Santa. What did Jesus say to Peter? For you are not mindful of the things of God, but of the things of men. Ah, so easy, not mindful of the things of God. So the name Jesus is dropped out, and Santa comes in. Alexander died at 32, and because he was shown this prophecy in Daniel, he actually did no harm to Jerusalem. Instead, he spared Jerusalem and granted it religious toleration. We must pray for Christian support from our politicians. There is a lie that's been perpetrated to silence the church that religion and politics don't mix. Anyone who's read the Bible and has seen the lives of people like Moses, Abraham, Joseph, David, Solomon, Daniel, Nehemiah, John the Baptist, Jesus, Paul, will see that Christians must pray and speak out in politics. You cannot read the Bible and hold that as true. The people in the Bible are involved in politics. They're involved in leadership of countries, and we must pray for our politicians. We cannot just give up on them and just put it to the side. Ptolemy I had a prince named Seleucus who rose to power and took dominion over the region of Syria. He became more powerful than his former Egyptian rulers. The Seleucids are identified with the kings of the north and the Ptolemies, the kings of the south. So that's Egypt. God has outlined to Daniel the huge wickedness that come by wars around Israel. We are approaching a time when the fear of war and the hardship is not decreasing. China is a concern. Russia's war with Ukraine is involving many countries. COVID is global. One out of every 50 people on this planet are starving. Can you imagine that? One out of 50 people are starving. We live in a bubble that could burst at any time. Revelation 6:8 tells us in the fourth seal that it releases death on one quarter of the earth to kill with sword, hunger, death, and by the beasts. The population of just Africa and India adds up to about 2.77 billion. Population of the world is just under 8 billion. So that's about 35% of the earth. The word for beasts is therion, which is the same word which is used for the men who are the world rulers in Revelation 13, the beast. And so there could be a killing, a huge killing. Are we complacent and thinking, oh no, it won't happen to us? So, what is our priority? Food? Safety? Shelter? Or is it thy kingdom come? When Jesus teaches us to pray, he would have known all this hardship and trial was there. And the switch is from ourselves to thy kingdom come. From my will be done, Lord, I'd really love this to happen, thy will be done. That's a complete switch. Salvation must be on our minds. You know, the word for salvation comes from safe. 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 We are not safe without salvation. We are not safe. God has positioned you next to special people. You are uniquely positioned. There are people next to you that no one else has that same touch with. You have been positioned by God. You are equipped by God for thy kingdom come. And people, you and I have to speak it out. We have to speak it out. We have to pray for these people, because the very reason that God has put them on your heart is for you to reach them. Salvation is desperately important. But from the branch of her, that's Berenice's roots, shall one arise in his, that's the brother of Berenice, Ptolemy the Third, place, who shall come with an army, enter the fortress of the king, Seleucids, of the north, and deal with them and prevail, and he shall also carry their gods captive to Egypt, with their princes and their precious articles of silver and gold, and he shall continue more years than the king of the north. And the king of the north shall come to the kingdom of the king of the south, but shall return to his own land. The angel tells Daniel that a branch of her roots would come from the Ptolemies and prevail over the kings of the north, the Seleucids. So the brother of Berenice, who was Ptolemy the Third, avenges the murder of his sister, invades Syria, and humbles Seleucus the Second. Ptolemy actually outlives Seleucus by 4 years. 1 in 7 Christians suffer extreme persecution and hardship. These are our family in the world. And we are given batterings to perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle us. That's it. That's in the scriptures. You are given these batterings to perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle us. We all find it hard. We may find in these troubled times that God, we will think that God has forsaken us, but that's not true. We must live the prayer, thy kingdom come. We saw last week, it took 3 weeks for the angel to come back to Daniel after he'd started praying. His prayers were heard, but there was a battle. However, his sons shall stir up strife and assemble a multitude of great forces, and one shall certainly come and overwhelm and pass through. Then he shall return to his fortress and stir up strife. You know, the sons of Antiochus fought with the Ptolemies so that the Holy Land was caught between them and it became a battleground. This would have been very difficult for Israel. You know, they're fighting, but they're fighting right here. And it would have been a time when they longed for the coming of the Messiah for hundreds of years. For hundreds of years they knew that he was coming, but many will have given up. Our world is presently in a mess, with Christians being mangled. We too have waited for the return of Jesus, and we must stand strong. In a ferocious war, Antiochus III reclaimed the Holy Land from the control of the Ptolemies. And the king of the south, shall be moved with rage and go and fight with him with the king of the north, and shall muster a great multitude, but the multitude shall be given into the hand of the enemy. When he is taken away the multitude, his heart will be lifted up, and he will be cast down. He will cast down tens of thousands, but he will not prevail. For the king of the north will return and muster a multitude greater than the former, and shall certainly come at the end of some years with a great army and much equipment. You know, when you read the Apocrypha, the 1 and 2 Maccabees there, numbers don't necessarily mean victory. The north had the numbers, but they lost to the south. But then when the south raises a huge army and equipment for a war, Antiochus III lost the battle at Raphia and consequently surrendered dominion of Israel to Ptolemy IV. Then the north retakes the Holy Land. War is the result of greed and covetousness. It has complete disregard for the value of human life. God wants us to enjoy his presence in eternity. Now, in those times, many shall rise up against the king of the south. Also, violent men of your people shall exalt themselves in fulfillment of the vision. The Jews resented the rule of Egypt, having been in bondage to them for 400 years before, in the time before Moses. So they helped Antiochus III against the Ptolemies. And then it says, but they shall fail. Antiochus III was totally unappreciative of the help from the Jews, so he sought to destroy them. So the king of the north shall come and build a siege mound and take a fortified city, and the forces of the south shall not withstand. Antiochus III invades Egypt and conquers Ptolemy. Even his choice troops shall have no strength to resist, but he who comes against them shall do according to his own will, and no one shall stand against him. He shall stand in the glorious land, that's Israel, with destruction in his power. So Antiochus III takes over Israel and seeks to destroy it. What do we learn? Our loyalty cannot be to a person or a country or a political party or a club or even a church. Our loyalty is to God. Our primary loyalty is to God. That's the first thing. In saying that, the Bible encourages us to maintain responsibility for our family, our church, fellow believers, and the poor, usually in that order. The Jews here backed Antiochus as a political party, and they lost. And he shall also set his face to enter with the strength of his whole kingdom and upright ones with him. Thus shall he do, and he shall give him the daughter of women to destroy it, but she shall not stand with him or before him. After this, he shall turn his face to the coastlands and take money. And a ruler shall bring the reproach against them to an end, and with the reproach removed, he shall turn back on him. Then he shall turn his face towards the fortress of his own land, and he shall stumble and fall and not be found. You know, Antiochus III gave his daughter Cleopatra to Ptolemy V in Egypt to gain control of Egypt. However, the plan failed, and Cleopatra, who wasn't the famous Cleopatra in Julius Caesar's time, was unfaithful to her husband. So Antiochus III turns his attention to the coastlands in the west, these being Asia Minor and Greece. He was aided by the famous general of Carthage, Hannibal, and they were defeated by the Roman general Lucius Cornelius Scipio in Greece. Antiochus III planned to humiliate Greece, but instead lost everything. In desperate need for funds, he decided to pillage a Babylonian temple, but was killed by the enraged local citizens. When you read this history, you kind of think, you know, looking at it and think, gosh, you know, how on earth? But the message that comes through is that there is war. And in our modern day and age, we have come to see extreme evil in politics. We prayed for Vladimir Putin and Russia's war with Ukraine. Extreme evil. Adultery and murder are prevalent today as they've been throughout all of history. You know, Jesus says this. He says, abide in me and I in you. To change our abode, we have to leave one place and enter another. We have to step out of the influence of the culture that we're in and into the company of Jesus. We have to close the door and open a new door. We have to deliberately cancel thoughts, because they will come into your mind. Cancel thoughts and replace them with prayer and praise. Replace them. So you don't cancel and stay neutral. You don't cancel, you replace them. What did Jesus say to Peter? For you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. Do you get it? I mean, you could come out of the door and just stand there. But you actually have to open another door and go in. We have to move past neutrality to being active for Christ. We have to silence the enemy and speak out for God. We have to spend prayer time listening to God, not just talking, and then obeying his commandments. How many years did it take for me to learn that? Where you thought the prayer was just talking. But no, you have to shut up and listen. Lord, what do you want me to do? What does Jesus say in John? He says, my sheep hear my voice. Ha! My sheep hear my voice. You know, as a teacher in a classroom, you know the difference. You know the difference between the student who hears you and you explain something and the person who shuts off, and then you see it in their test. You didn't get it at all, did you? No, nothing at all. My sheep hear my voice. In our prayer time, it is a conversation, and you shut up and you say to God, what do you want to tell me? And you listen. So many Christians live in a time of persecution and war. God can see the suffering and hear the prayers, but the suffering continues. I have no doubt there are believers in Ukraine and North Korea and China and Somalia who are crying out to God and waiting for him to answer. It seems their pain doesn't stop, but the hardest part is thy kingdom come, not mine. Thy will be done, not mine. And you know, Jesus lives this teaching. You have this priceless line there in the scriptures, Matthew 26. O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Wow! This is the Son of God praying. This is the Son of God saying, I don't really want to suffer. He's a man. He knows pain. He's seen the suffering. And then he has prayed and taught, thy kingdom come. In a time of huge war and suffering around, thy will be done. And he says, if it's possible, I'd like not to go through all of this. But in his heart, he surrenders and said, no, but not my will, but yours. How strong is our faith? Some of us in our lives have gone through huge grief. People in war lose their houses, their families, their possession, their wealth, their limbs, their friends. In the depth of grief, so many other matters just seem so trivial, you can't be bothered about them. You know, I remember when Jess had leukemia and I was praying and things were so tough that someone was praying for a fine day for the inter-school athletics. I thought, who cares? Gosh, what a pathetic prayer. You know, I don't care if it storms with the rain. Who cares? I just want my girl to stay alive. I just want her to be well. Daniel 11 shows us that God knows the path of the future of mankind. We are warned several times in the Bible that we will suffer. But the paramount important advice for us is to be ready And the readiness refers to relationship. The bride has made herself ready. Bride says relationship. There's a relationship. There's a love between the husband and the bride, between Christ and the church. There is a love. In that homework that I gave you, the last two were, what can I do for you tomorrow and what can you do for me? There is a relationship. I want to do something for you tomorrow, just for you. The bride has made herself ready, and the readiness, people, starts the night before, doesn't it? You've got to be ready. You've got to be ready. You've got to have planned it. You've got to have an alertness. I wouldn't have prayed for that lady, Barbara, unless the time before that was, what do you want me to do for you? And yeah, pray for her, pray for her. And I had to break through that barrier where I didn't pray and I failed the week before. You have to be ready. It takes preparation. It takes some type of guts inside you. The most difficult thing about being a pastor is listening to God. Living what I teach is so hard. So I've tried to walk with him more, to thank him more, to repent more, to serve him more. Not for any other reason except that I know he wants it. In both my times as a pastor at Chidlow and here, there have been huge spiritual warfare. When I served in Chidlow Community Church 2009, Jess got leukemia. After losing our first daughter, Lethe, Aletheia means truth, in 1977, the wound was still there. And the fear was never eradicated, so that even when we had our second daughter, Cara, 1986, when she was approaching three, I was just so desperate in fear, saying, will she pass it? Will she make three? It was such a relief to have her third birthday. Thought there was a milestone we'd got to and we'd passed it. Yes. Yes. Then, after coming to Darlington here, Sue's health has been attacked with heart attacks, spleen removed, pancreas chopped up, COVID, all these kind of things. And here, you need to pray for Callan and Izzy. Pray for protection over their health, their finances, their family, their safety, their relationship. They will know spiritual warfare as the pastor of Darlington Christian Fellowship. They will know warfare. Satan will attack. And people, it is your responsibility to cover them in prayer. Cover and cover and cover and cover and cover and cover them in prayer. You have to do that. We have looked for over a year and we found him. God has called him. He's come. They have come. Izzy is very important. Very, very, very important. She is the support. But you have this responsibility. You have to cover them in prayer. Every day you have to cover them in prayer. You have to cover and protect them. Pray against discouragement and cover them. And what does that mean? That means that they know the walk with God. It's the bride has made herself ready. It is the bride, the relationship, that's important. All the learning and all the looking at books and the looking at commentaries and all of that is good, but it's the relationship that matters. And it is your relationship which matters. Your relationship with the living God. Amen? Let's sing. Sing this song that I wrote many years ago.